Welcome to Hard House, the podcast that goes bump in the night.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Haunt Heads, the podcast that goes bump in the night. I am your humble host, Janine Mercer, and I, as always, am joined here by...
Mimi Steven. Hello, peeps.
How's it going?
Good, everything's good.
Everything's crack-a-lackin'?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about you? What's new in your world?
Oh, what's new in my world? I pissed off my wife the other day because I made her leave the house and go on the expressway during rush hour to go get free rocks.
From where?
we had to go to Menominee Falls.
Oh.
And she was not keen on getting in the car. I didn't realize it was rush hour.
Oh, okay.
It was like 4. And I was like, well,
that's rush hour.
It's 4 o'clock.
Actually, like, in Milwaukee now, it has changed from 2:30 to 5:30.
Oh, really? Well, we took 45, so that goes past, I guess, a lot of factory places, too.
Yeah.
So when they get out at, like, 3:30, 4 o'clock, then they're all on the expressway, and
Yeah.
So I made it into somebody's special shit list yesterday.
And did you make amends yet?
Not yet. I'm trying to figure out how I can do that.
Okay.
I think that she will be happy once she sees what I'm going to do with the rocks.
Oh, good.
They're really nice. I mean, they're all different colors. They're like the kinds of rocks, like landscaping rocks, that you would pay pretty good money for. And the lady was like, I just don't want them anymore.
Nice.
So, scored me some free rocks.
Yay.
It's like paying for air. It just doesn't make any sense.
I wouldn't mind free rocks. Free is good.
Well, I have her address, so I'll toss it.
Oh, she has more rocks?
She has tons of rocks.
Oh, crap,
tons,
yeah.
Tons and tons of rocks. She told me that she has a bunch of other rocks that she would like to incorporate into her landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
And the rocks that are there right now are interfering with her ability to do that.
Oh.
So she travels around, I guess, and she collects rocks from every place that she's been.
That's cool.
Yeah. So she's got like 4 boxes of rocks in her garage, and she's like, I want to put these in my garden, but I can't because I have too many rocks.
Oh, wow.
Such a problem to have. It's a that terrible is. Problem to have.
That is.
So, yeah, other than that, she gave me a free plant.
Nice.
That's supposed to bloom nicely. She couldn't tell me what the name of the plant was, so I guess I'll find out.
Right.
Other than that, we're getting our powder room done.
And you have a very pretty vanity.
And the vanity is very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like it a lot.
We decided on something a little bit more modern and a little bit more square.
Mm-hmm.
But still something that, because this house was built in the 50s,
right.
I wanted to kind of maintain the integrity
mm-hmm.
of that design. Without having what was there previously, which was like little purple flowers and flowery piles on the floor. And I was really lucky, actually. A lot of people have told me that we didn't have like the puce colored toilet.
Yeah.
Because that was popular.
Yeah, we kind of have that.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was built 1972, mm-hmm. and we still have the bath. And the sink and the toilet. But the toilet we took out and it's in the basement.
Yeah.
But my husband doesn't want to get rid of it because he says they don't make toilets like that anymore. However, we will never be using
well,
it
don't.
Because it is mustard yellow. It is so icky.
Yeah.
My tub, my sink, and that toilet. Ugh.
Well, you know, on the bright side, if a baby ever shat on it, then you would never know.
Yeah. Well.
Not a good enough reason to have a mustard-colored toilet.
No.
We went with subway tile, white subway tile on the walls.
Nice.
And hex tile on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do, like, a dark gray grout.
Very nice.
Yep. And then my job will be to paint the rest of the room gray.
Okay, good.
So that it matches. But, so that's coming along. Other than that, I don't think I have too much.
Okay.
Going aside, aside from getting the stuff ready for Haunt Heads every week.
Yeah.
you know, that's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, Sophie had her surgery, and she's doing very well. She's healing nicely.
We're very happy about that.
Yes. And other than that, I've been back in the studio, and I finished one painting. It's a figurative.
The art studio. Mimi is
yes.
an artist.
Yes, I do stained glass and painting. Yep. And I did recently have been working on a figurative painting, and I finished that one finally, and I'm very excited about it. And I haven't quite decided what I'm going to be doing for my next project. But, you know, I have to tell the people out there that you and I looking at each other, it's so funny because we have two boxes that cover our mics.
Yeah.
And both Janine and I keep stretching our necks to look at each other.
It's kind of like Wilson looking over the
yes,
fence.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just really funny.
It's supposed to help the audio. I swear, that's what it's for. It's not for comic relief. It's supposed to serve a purpose.
No, I just had to because it's just so funny. I mean, both of us, our heads going up.
Well, because that's the natural inclination.
Right.
You're only talking to me.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody else who's listening, hi, hello, how are you? You look good today.
Yes.
But, I mean, other than that, you're talking to thin air, and, you know, what do? You look at the only other living thing in the room. It's just what you do.
Yeah, it's funny. So anyway, I think we have some good stuff coming up this week. I'm kind of eager.
I think we do. I don't know. I'm a little unnerved.
I've been turning a little bit to the dark side lately.
Yeah, and you know what? It's real fucking appropriate because Mimi brought cookies today, and everybody knows that there are cookies on the dark side. Everybody knows. So there you go.
Not just any cookie, though.
No, it was like a rainbow swirly frosting chip cookie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a Cookie Monster cookie.
It had eyes.
Yeah. Yes.
I ate the eyes first.
Me too.
When you were a kid and you got an Easter bunny, like a chocolate Easter bunny, did you eat the eyes first?
Oh, no, the ears.
You ate the ears first?
Yeah.
I always ate the eyes first.
Oh.
Always. Because it was the only part of the bunny that was like that sugar, that pressed sugar.
Well, that's why I saved it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you saved the eyes? Do you have like a box of bunny eyes under your bed?
Actually, it's really quite funny because I don't really like chocolate all that much. So I would eat a little bit of chocolate and then the eyes and then the rest of the thing is just hanging around and usually didn't get eaten.
Always hit the eyes first. If they were the hollow ones, then I ate the ears.
Okay.
Those were always the first things that I ate.
Yeah.
So let's see here. I have S.K. Pierce and Chair City.
Cool.
Chair City is in Gardner, Massachusetts. So the S.K. Pierce mansion that I'm talking about is obviously in Gardner, Mass. So,
and they call it Chair City, like C-H-A-I-R?
They call it Chair City. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's got to be one of the most interesting claims to fame I've ever heard of. What is Wisconsin? Wisconsin is probably like cheese state.
Mm-hmm. Cheese and beer.
Yeah, cheese and beer. Sausage too, I think.
Well, I don't like sausage.
There's like the heart attack trifecta. What is it? It's cheese, sausage, and...
Beer.
Beer. Yeah. Can beer give you a heart attack?
I'm sure if you drank enough.
Yeah, you think so?
I don't know.
Well, those Wisconsinites.
Yeah.
You never know. Okay, so that's what I have. What do you have?
All I'm going to say is I've titled it, and it's called Where's the Beef?
With a little maniacal laugh.
Yep. Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Okay. So this is another one that I'm going to have to do a disclaimer for. I'm sure, now that Mimi is embracing her darkness.
Yep.
It's me. It's terrible. So I'm rubbing off on you.
I think so.
We're in this room filled with taxidermied raccoons and mummified piglets, and it's just all going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah. So who wants to go first?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Mm-mm.
Well, I guess I will go first.
Okay.
And then I will let people know at what point your piece starts in case they want to run away. Or do something.
Like sounds good.
Okay. So, yeah, you guys might have seen this one on the blog. It's titled S.K. Pierce and Sheer City. When it comes to haunted historical locations, there's a line drawn in the sand by many paranormal investigators and enthusiasts. You know, there are options when you find these haunted locations. You can either fix it up and live with the spirits, create a bed and breakfast, and run historical tours, which actually is what happens at the Brumder Mansion in Milwaukee, or you can turn it into something entirely else. That else can either be a welcome addition to the community, or it can be an unwelcome nuisance. And in this particular case, many in the field, the paranormal field, believe that there's a line that's been crossed. And in the case of the S.K. Pierce Mansion, it's been flipped into the else category. The mansion is going to offer staycations for those looking for a fright, but they're going to open only the basement in the month of October to use it as a haunted attraction. So it's essentially going to be a haunted house within a haunted house. Yeah. So there's a lot of people who are kind of iffy about that because, you know, Mimi, I know you're big on respecting the spirits and, you know, mm-hmm. making sure that you're not pushing too much, you know, absolutely. Making them uncomfortable. Because, you know, I mean, Christ, you're dead. Like, do you
right.
do you really have to deal with all this other crap?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure that you're probably going to have some opinions about this one, because...
Okay.
So let's see here. Let's rewind a little bit. In 1875, Sylvester Knowlton Pierce, a wealthy furniture magnate and owner of S.K. Pierce & Sons Furniture Company, decided to build a structure befitting his stature. That structure became the S.K. Pierce Mansion in Gardner, Massachusetts. Pierce's furniture empire earned Gardner the title of Chair City, and his name became forever entwined with the place that he called home. The home took 1.5 years to complete, a project that enlisted the help of 100 men. The completed mansion, a total of 6,661 square feet, though some claim it's closer to 7,000, had 10 bedrooms and 2.5 baths. Little did Pierce know, but the energy he invested into the property would be forever trapped there. The Pierce family, Pierce himself, his wife Susan, and their son Edward, moved into the house in 1877. Roughly 3 months later, Pierce's wife succumbed to a bacterial infection. Pierce mourned the loss of his beloved wife for 1 year before finding a new bride, Ellen, who was far younger than himself. And then with Ellen, Pierce fathered 2 more children, both boys. Upon Pierce's passing in 1888, the home was left to Ellen, but once Ellen passed away in 1902, constant bickering about property rights drove a wedge between the brothers. Edward ultimately took ownership of the property. Some accounts state that Ellen's son Frank took ownership. That's kind of the funny thing about this story. It's told in so many different ways. It's often relayed in a few different ways, and one is better than the other, and you know, whatever. So one story that I read said that Edward took ownership of the property because he was Pierce's only son, and he turned it into a boarding house. Now, it wasn't long before Edward's business venture turned sour. The mansion was host at one time to great names like P.T. Barnum, President Calvin Coolidge, and Norman Rockwell, among others. But the clientele almost immediately shifted to gamblers, alcoholics, prostitutes. It really went downhill. The boarding house quickly, very quickly, turned into a brothel. When Edward passed, his half-brother Frank stepped in, but he lost the property in a card game. There have also been other accounts that state that Edward was the one who lost the house in a card game, and Frank doesn't come into it at all. So, I guess, believe what you will.
Okay, interesting.
About that. Having lost what remained of the Pierce fortune, Frank was allowed to stay in the basement of the home because he had nowhere else to go. In some accounts, they say that Edward has the ability to stay in the basement because he has nowhere else to go.
Wasn't there a third brother?
There was, but he doesn't ever come into it.
Oh.
I don't know.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. At this point, the home was purchased by a wealthy and eccentric artist who abandoned the property completely in the 1970s and left it sit just completely abandoned and falling down on itself for about 30 years.
Oh.
Very sad because it's such a beautiful house. It was such an amazing property. And to see it from the outside, it's a very imposing structure. I mean, it's really very impressive.
Hmm.
So very sad to see it go that way. After that point, it was bought by a young couple when the property was actually on the brink of demolition. So they saved it. That couple's name was Edwin Gonzalez and Lillian Otero. But it wasn't long before they were forced to sell the house, citing that the level of paranormal activity within its walls were so great that they felt like they could no longer safely reside there.
Oh, wow.
So they sold the house. And they placed the property on the market for a literal song, $329,000.
Oh.
10 bedrooms, 2.5 baths.
Ooh.
Built in the 1800s. $329,000.
Wow.
Craziness.
Yes.
So now let's fast forward a little bit. Rob and Allison Conti, owners of Dark Carnival, purchased the house in 2015 when a friend relayed them the MLS listing. Rob had been looking for a location that he could turn into a freestanding haunted house for some time, but he'd been unable to procure a location in his home state of New Jersey. I guess a fire at a freestanding haunted attraction, it was like Six Flags or something, killed 8 teens in the 1980s, and so as a result, the rules that were laid out surrounding the running of such attractions had become more strict within the state, so yeah. He had to go outside the state.
Okay.
When the Pierce Mansion came onto the market, a friend of the Contis noticed the listing and brought it to their attention. After some debate as to whether or not they could afford to purchase the home at all, they decided to place an offer, and it got accepted. The Contis began reconstruction and beautification of the home's many bedrooms in an effort to bring it back to its former glory. As of June 25th of this year, the house is still undergoing extensive renovation, so they haven't even opened it up yet.
Wow.
As far as the paranormal phenomena are concerned, please be aware that the following information has not been confirmed, as many of the statements slash murders slash whatevers are not backed up by any proof, newspaper, obituary, anything. I dug until my fingers bled, and I could not find a damn thing.
Okay.
So, I guess take it with a grain of salt? I don't know.
Okay.
There was just so much that they said that happened at this place. Very similar to the haunting in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are happening to us. They're demons, yada yada, blah blah. And then nothing really to back that up. But we're going to say that anyway, and then we're going to release a book, and then we're going to release a movie. Yeah, so I don't know. Take it as you will. while the Pierce Mansion was a brothel, it is said that a prostitute was murdered in an upstairs bedroom referred to as the Red Room. Although I searched extensively, I couldn't find any report of this murder in the newspaper. It's entirely possible that the murder was covered up or that the police at the time were just like, yeah, whatever, you know, it was a woman of ill repute.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know, she did it to herself. Kind of, you know, I mean, who knows? It is also said that her murderer, known only as David, still haunts the home. A Finnish immigrant named Ino Saari burned to death in the master bedroom. It's said that to this very day, the bedroom smells of smoke.
Oh.
So when you walk in there, you can still smell it. Saari is believed to have died from smoke inhalation, as he often smoked and drank in bed.
Okay.
But there are those who believe that Saari's death was a case of spontaneous human combustion.
And why is that?
When somebody combusts, you see, like, if they're lying on a bed, their body is all scorched and charcoaly and whatever, and the bed is all scorched and charcoaly, but there's nothing on the walls, there's nothing on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah, so they think that he just randomly went up in flames. And honestly, I mean, depending on the size of the man, there have been studies done on spontaneous human combustion. And if he drinks as much as they say he drinks in some of these accounts, I don't think it would be too outlandish to say that, you know, if he had a little bit of fat on him to act as a wick, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's maybe something that I'll do a piece on for a future episode, because it's very interesting. And it's been speculated that it's been happening for decades, you know, and people just haven't noticed it. They just assume that, you know, well, he smoked in bed, so he died.
Yeah.
Because he set the sheets on fire. But there's no damage to the surroundings, so, you know,
well, I've seen it on CSI.
There you go. Well, if you, and everybody knows, if you saw it on CSI.
It's happened somewhere.
It's happened somewhere. Totally plausible. Okay. So, let's see here. Yeah, so there were no burn marks on the surrounding walls or on the floor. Only the bed had been burned. A young boy is said to have drowned in the basement. And I don't know how that's possible.
Okay.
They just said that he drowned in the basement. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The spirits of S.K. Pierce and his first wife, Susan, and the Pierce's nanny, Maddie Cornwell, are said to haunt the home.
Did she die there? Do we know?
Susan did, yes.
The wife did?
As did S.K. Pierce.
And what about the nanny?
I didn't find anything else on.
Because I don't know why she would be haunting there.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Well, I mean, it is a beautiful house, I suppose, yeah. If you're going to spend forever haunting something, do something pretty.
Yeah.
Let's see. The ghosts of a young boy and a young girl have been seen playing on the staircase. Some people speculate that the young girl that they see is one of Pierce's granddaughters.
Oh, okay.
So, unnamed dark entities inhabit the basement of the home, though some say the spirit of Edward, or potentially Frank, whoever you're listening to, resides down there. EVPs have been caught by various paranormal investigators, and there seems to be a voice saying the name Edward.
Okay.
And several people have caught it on several different occasions.
Maybe so, Edward killed Frank.
Maybe Frank didn't exist, or maybe...
Maybe Frank killed Edward.
The story is not true. Yeah, I mean, like, there's no way to know. There's just no way to know.
That's how rumors get spread.
Yes. Yes, that is how rumors get started. Let's see. Many visitors to the property have captured EVPs and photographs of spirits. Guests have said that they've actually seen the full-bodied apparitions of S.K. Pierce and his wife, Susan. So,
okay,
that's a thing. Guests have also experienced disembodied voices, chanting, full-bodied apparitions, moving furniture, screens flying off windows, slamming doors, temperature changes, disembodied footsteps, foul odors, shadow people. Guests have been pushed on the staircase. One guest was actually almost pushed out of a third floor window.
Oh, wow.
And then the last thing that they experience is a lion's roar, which is very interesting. It's said to be S.K. Pierce reaching out from beyond the grave to tell people of the displeasure that he has over the people that are now running his house. Because that's not the way he would have run his house. Yeah, so they say that the lion's roar is him basically being pissed off at people.
Okay.
The S.K. Pierce Mansion has been featured on many ghost hunting shows, including Ghost Hunters and our favorite Ghost Adventures.
Okay.
And has been the subject of several books, but honestly, I mean, how much of the mansion's history can be corroborated? Are the current owners of the home simply ramping up the reports of paranormal activity in order to gain more business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, more publicity before they open their doors means more money. I don't know.
Do you happen to know if they have any pictures of the family or anything left over from the original family from the Pierces?
I did see some photos of S.K. Pierce.
Okay.
And I think I saw... Yeah, I've seen photos of his wife, too, Susan.
Okay.
But, yeah, there are interior photos of the home prior to them doing anything to it. I mean, the mansion sat for a very long time. And, yeah, I mean, it basically just ran itself into the ground. So they do have some original photos, but they're going room by room and restoring it. They say they're restoring it. I really hope that they are restoring it to what it was and they're not doing anything like funny with it.
Yeah.
Like, don't put in, like, any trick mirrors or fake thing. You know, like, just don't do that. That's not cool.
Right.
I'm all for them turning it into, like, a staycation, like a haunted staycation.
Yeah.
I think that that's fine as long as people are respectful.
Right.
But I don't really agree with turning the basement into a haunted house in October.
No.
I don't like that.
No.
There's just something about that that doesn't...
It's disrespectful.
Yeah. It just doesn't gel with me.
I mean, the house down the road probably is doing a haunted house.
Right,
so just let them do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I know if I was a spirit and they were going to bring 35 rando guys into my home, you know, for the entire month of October to jump out and scare people in the basement.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of stuff on their website about how, you know, well, maybe you'll experience some actual ghosts while you're here. You know, and it's like, you know, you're just doing it for money. And, you know, I understand that money makes the world go round and it totally makes sense to me. But I feel like they could have done it in such a way that it wouldn't have been, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to dress guys up in costumes and then hide them down there.
Right.
And then people are going to walk through.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. We're both scrunching up our noses here.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Distasteful.
Distasteful. Let's see. Da, 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 da. On their website, Dark Carnival, who, as I said before, are Rob and Allison Conti, that's their business, state that visitors to the property will need to sign a waiver prior to entry, absolving them of any physical or mental assaults from the spirits that dwell within. According to them, the spirits are, quote, extremely advanced and might, quote, impose their will on guests. The website also states that guests are not to antagonize the spirits, as this may make the spirits angry and make them lash out. I can't think of anything that would make a spirit angrier than turning their home into a haunted house on Halloween.
That's what I was just thinking.
So if you guys have ever visited the S.K. Pierce Mansion, if you've ever taken some shots from the outside, some people have said that they've taken pictures of the windows and they've actually seen forms standing in the windows. They've actually seen apparitions. So if you have any photos or anything that you would like to share with us, hauntheadscast@gmail.com is your friend. Please, please, please send them along to us because we would love to see them.
Yep,
I think that
absolutely.
They would be very, very awesome. And then also, if you would like, you can go on the WordPress blog and you can tell us how you personally feel about the house being used as a haunted house during the month of October and whether or not you think it's tasteful for them to do that. I think we've kind of firmly hung our hats on where we stand, but...
yeah, we have.
Yeah, we want to know how you feel, so please let us know.
Please.
And on that note... We are going to go to Mimi. My hands are getting a little clammy.
Okay.
Because I'm starting to get a little worried.
So, Jane, where's the beef? All right, that's
Christ,
the title.
I hope it's not going to be where I think it is.
Okay. This one takes place in South Baltimore, Maryland. Starts in 1994. A large, very large, like 450-pound, very gross truck driver enters his home to find his wife and child gone. According to the man, and I quote, his wife was a crack-addicted old lady.
Oh. He sounds delightful.
Yes. This man was Joseph Matheny, also known as the Cannibal Killer.
Oh, yep.
Okay. So, a few months after his wife disappeared, he finds out that his son was taken away by social workers due to neglect, and that the mother was seen living under a bridge with an unknown man. Wow. Well, this made Joseph Matheny super pissed off, and he picks up an axe, and he goes to the bridge looking for his wife. And the guy that she's shacking up with under the bridge, because they're homeless and they sleep under the bridge.
Nice.
Yeah. They weren't there. But according to Matheny, and I quote, the two homeless motherfuckers they got high with were down there. They were passed out on some old stinking mattresses, and that's where they were when I left. Except they were dead from being chopped up. Oh. End quote. So, okay. Wait,
don't you just hate that when people just spontaneously get chopped up by an axe?
Oh, absolutely. So, Matheny also stated, and I quote, he doped up a prostitute and lured her under the bridge to pump information out of her about where his wife was. He goes on to say she acted like she didn't know, but she did. She gave up some information. So I beat the hell out of her and raped her ass, then killed her, end quote. He also claims he killed another woman the same way, and there was an old man who was fishing nearby.
Okay.
And he beat his head in with a steel pipe and dumped his body in the river because, you know, he didn't want to be seen. Are you okay over there, Janine?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
So then, in 1995, he took two women to his trailer where he stabbed and strangled them. He then opened a barbecue beef stand. Okay, so in 1996, after running low on his special meat,
oh my God,
he called in another prostitute. And as soon as she entered the home, Matheny began to assault her. She somehow managed to escape him. He, like, turned away for just a minute, and she was able to escape. And she ran, and she called the police. And when they arrived on the scene, Matheny immediately gave up. He opened up the gate where he was staying, and he went with them. He didn't fight or anything.
Well,
so, here's his confession.
Oh, God.
In his confessions to the cops, he is quoted as saying, the following. I killed seven people. And later he actually said that he killed three more people. Mm-hmm. But I killed seven people, three men and four women. Two men I chopped up with an axe under a bridge in South Baltimore. Under that same bridge, I also killed two women and one man who was fishing who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I weighed their bodies down and put them in a river. He also stated that I cut the meat up, put it in some Tupperware bowls, then put it in a freezer. I opened up a little open pit beef stand. I had real roast beef and pork sandwiches. They were very good. The human body taste was very similar to pork. If you mix it together, no one can tell the difference. pork sandwiches. I'll never think of pork sandwiches the same way. Okay, yeah. So, wow. Due to a lack of evidence, Matheny was only charged with three of the murders. One woman's remains was found a few feet away from his trailer, and Matheny was sentenced to death, but in 2000, his sentence was commuted to life in prison, with no chance of parole. When the jury stated the sentence, Matheny told them, I dug up the skull of Kathy Magaziner, one of his victims who was buried, you know, next to the trailer, washed out the maggots, and made love to it.
Oh.
Gross.
Yeah.
The words, I'm sorry, will never come out, for they would be a lie. I am more than willing to give up my life for what I have done, to have God judge me and send me to hell for eternity, end quote. So why did he kill? Everyone wants to know, why did he kill? He said, because I liked it. So just ask the sick fuck Joseph Matheny. Where's the beef?
Wow.
Yeah, there's a picture of him, and he's just like this huge sloth, and he's shirtless, and it looks like he had surgery or something down the middle of his stomach, but he's like 450 pounds, okay. And he's just so gross. So anyway, I guess, you know, in reading more about him, I haven't found anything about his wife at all, but the child he never even looked for, which is a really good thing.
Is the child still alive, though? I mean...
There's nothing that I read about him, although I could look further, I suppose, but I haven't.
Well, I wonder, you know, he's this creepy fucker, and he opens up this barbecue stand, and he's serving human remains on his barbecue stand, and, you know, he comes home one day, and his wife and his son are just gone?
Well, he...
I mean, he found his wife.
He was a truck driver originally, so he was out driving, and then when he came home, they were gone, and his... killing, I guess, started after that. His rage went into this obsession to
mental break.
Killing and eating people.
Wow. Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
So I wonder how many people actually liked his pork sandwiches.
Well, you know, when you said, you know, that he served it, you know, when he was eating it. I flash back to that part in Silence of the Lambs where Clarice is talking about serial killers keeping trophies,
mm-hmm.
and how Hannibal Lecter says, well, I didn't keep any trophies, and Clarice is like, well, no, you ate yours.
Right. Remember the scene in that movie where there's a guy and he cuts off his skull and then he eats the bones?
Oh, that's, dips it in. That's Hannibal.
Was it?
Yeah, that's Hannibal.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Okay, because I remember that
what's
part.
Her face. It wasn't Jodie Foster, it was what's her face. Okay. I can never remember her name.
Well, I remember that part. I don't know her name either.
But yeah, he wheels the Paul
yes.
into the and dining room and he's fries yeah, it frying it up, feeds it to him. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good movie aside from that. Why in the fuck? I can't remember her name.
Julianne Moore.
Yes.
Just came to me.
Yeah. And I totally would have been fine with that performance if she hadn't tried to be Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
She, like, tried to channel Jodie Foster, and I was like, no.
Well, I really didn't like the second movie, so I don't remember that much about it. But I remember that, and I thought it was in the first
one. Red Dragon was good. I thought that Red Dragon was good, but...
That was with the guy who had the dragon tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that one was okay, but... with Hannibal, I feel like I just kind of dropped off. Like, there were some parts where I was like, I'm just going to go to sleep.
He was so amazing, Anthony.
He's so amazing. In everything.
I know. He's a true artist.
Yes, he is. He is. He's a keeper, that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, now is your traveling places and you see a barbecue stand on the side of the road.
Oh, hell no.
Just be wary.
Just keep driving. Keep driving. Don't stop. No matter how many delicious sauces they have. No matter how much it smells like what it should be, it might not be. Be careful in America, guys. And everywhere else, actually.
And according to Joseph Matheny, we have some sick fucks here.
Truer words have never been spoken by the cannibal killer himself. Yeah. So, on that note...
This was a fun one. So, how gruesome was that for you, Janine? As bad as the last one or comparable?
See, on a scale... I mean, it takes a lot to gross me out. I'm big into, like, gore movies and stuff like that. I'll watch the shit out of that stuff. So I'd say probably on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe my next one.
Maybe your next. So it's going to be, like, a test now to see.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to keep trying.
You're not going to stop. You're not going to rest until I'm puking into a bucket.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I've been challenged.
Oh, okay. What else do we have this week? The poll. So, you guys voted, and we heard you, and we read what you selected. And out of the Brumder Mansion, the Mary Booth House, Seven Bridges of Grant Park, and... Shit, there was one more. Anyway, it doesn't matter because you didn't pick it. you decided to go with the Brumder Mansion. So I am currently in discussions with the folks at the Brumder Mansion to try to organize some sort of, like, a little ghost hunting spree. I'm really hoping that they're not going to be like, well, you know, in order to get the ghost tour, you have to stay the night because the room is like $175. And I'm sorry, that's just not happening. So we'll have to see what they say about it.
Okay.
I am pretty sure that they offer tours anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, I thought they did. I thought that's what they said.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we could just go and do the tour. Because they have concerts there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we could probably just go and do the tour and, you know, stay to the back of the group and, mm-hmm. you know, like, ask a few questions of the spirits. You know, I'll record them. Mm-hmm. We have a digital recorder, so... I'll record that, and then I will hope and pray that I can just pick up that file out of that digital recorder and pop it into Audacity. Something tells me it's not going to be that easy, but whatever. Life is never easy.
No, it's not.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I think that is it for us this week.
All right.
Thank you so much, Mimi, for disgusting me.
My pleasure.
On a scale of 6 out of 10.
I aim to please.
All right, so we're good for this week. Thank you guys for listening. Again, if you have any folklore tales, any crazy paranormal stories, send them our way. We will totally read them on the show. We want to start doing that, so send them in.
All right, peace out, everyone.
All right, thanks, guys. Stay spooky.